Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now, every year on the second Sunday of Advent, the lectionary gives us a story of John the Baptist. Now, we may wonder why in these weeks that lead up to the birth of the baby Jesus, why we would have a story about the adult John proclaiming the arrival of the adult Jesus. Now, we hear John's story because the season of Advent is about preparing a way for Jesus to enter our hearts. And John the Baptist plays a key role in getting us there. John doesn't just point at Jesus and say, "Look, he's the one we've been waiting for." He also points at the people and he says, "You'll never recognize Jesus for who he is unless you first prepare yourselves to see him." Now, John's favorite word to apply to this process of preparation is repent. Now, the word repent is like the luggage carousel at the airport. It comes weighed down with a lot of baggage. And we often approach it with trepidation, and we'd rather not go there. And we can understand why. The word repent is often thrown around in a very judgmental way, with a not so subtle warning about fiery consequences. Now, John seems to be doing the same here as we listen to this scripture, as he appears to warn the unrepentant that they will meet the same fate as the tree that does not bear fruit, chopped down at the roots and tossed into the flames. But is this really what John is saying? Is the Messiah of love and liberation that he's pointing to really just another unmerciful tyrant whose doles out punishment to those who fail to obey or fail to stick to the straight and narrow? Is this the message that the crowds are flocking from all Judea to hear? Or is it something, or is something else going on here that we may not yet be prepared to see? So let's listen to this story about John the Baptist from the Gospel of Matthew, and listen also for the Word of God.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?"
People, wake up. Change your perspective and transform your hearts, or you'll miss the one who is coming to free us and heal us. Now, to many in his time, John must have looked like a madman. To many of us in our time, he still looks like a madman, with honey dripping from his fingers and locusts stuck in his teeth, and his camel hair clothing flapping in the wind, with his wild eyes and disconcerting words about burning chaff and axes lying at the roots of trees, words that make us squirm in our seats and compel us to want to turn the page as quickly as we can to get to the Christmas story, the one with the singing angels and the sleeping sheep and the tiny baby born in a manger, with no mention of winnowing forks or threshing floors or unquenchable fires. Now, John may have been a bit over the top from our perspective. Okay, so he was a lot over the top. But he was right. Something amazing was coming and is coming. And if we don't turn around and change our perspective, shift our gaze from the fear and hopelessness that preoccupies us much of our time, we may miss the opportunity to see what God is offering us as an alternative. If we think of the kingdom of God that Jesus describes in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about the time when the meek, the merciful, the persecuted, and the peacemakers will inherit the earth. And if we think about what it's going to take us to get from here to there, then we might see that a transformation of the heart is needed for all of us. As we let go of the things that push us to withhold love, grace, and mercy from one another, the fears that push us to persecute and devalue one another to the point where we're willing to wage war to help us feel more secure, the winnowing and pruning that John speaks of is something that happens within our hearts. It's not about Jesus naming individuals or entire groups of people as unfruitful or evil and worthy of tossing into the fire. That's something that we do. That's not something that the man we call the Prince of Peace would do. Now, on a grand scale, the chaff that John says needs to be consumed by God's unquenchable fire includes the injustices, the imbalances, the dysfunctional systems that we human beings can't seem to fix on our own. But on a small scale, we each have chaff that we are fully capable of burning off ourselves, like our fear-based biases, our reluctance to offer grace to one another, the habits and patterns and ruts that we've fallen into that are not life-giving, but rather life-draining. Now, the season of Advent was originally created to serve as a mini-Lent, that time we use before Easter to prepare for the resurrection. It's a time for reflection and repentance to prepare us for the coming of Christmas, the coming of Christ into the world. A time to ask ourselves an important question. What changes when Jesus comes into the world? What will change in God's name? What will God change in us? And what do we have the power to change ourselves? Now, John the Baptist's call for repentance is a call for transformation. It's not about looking backward with regret. It's about looking forward with hope. It's about looking at creation and ourselves as God's great unfinished work. And we have the opportunity to change it as we go along with God's help. Now, Captain Jerry Yellen passed away in 2017 at the age of 93. But after 40 years of carrying unmentionable pain in his heart, he spent his remaining time in this world carrying a message of peace. He couldn't change his past, but he realized that he could transform his present and his future. Now, what transformation might you be called to make in this season of Advent? How might you prepare a way for the hope and peace and joy and love of God to take root in your hearts? How might we all prepare for the coming of Christ into our world? Thanks be to God, and amen.